Thank you, choir, and happy Easter. It's a good way to start Easter Sunday. We got Bob Floss on the piano. We heard the shofar being blown, in case you're wondering, like, what in the world was that? That is a real ram's horn, right? No? Good to see everybody here this morning on this Easter Sunday, and just welcome. Good to see some families that are here today and some that have come all the way from Canada even. Hey, good to have everybody here as well. Just want to remind you that booklets are available, one per family, if you are interested in knowing what the next meeting, the big meeting that's taking place next Sunday after church. So I just want you to know if that is something that interests you. Pick one up on your way out, and if you forget today, you'll just have to call Amy Johnson of saying, I forgot my booklet, and you'll pick it up sometime during the week, or you can get them next Sunday, too. They'll still be here next Sunday as well. Thanks to everybody that put the reports in. Did you hear that, those of you on Zoom? You probably can't. Well, you probably hear if I say something. If you're on Zoom and you'd like a booklet, call the church office or call Amy Johnson, and she will send you a booklet so that you kind of know what's going on here as well. I just say it's a wonderful way to find out really what Harbor of Joy is all about. You read what's in this booklet. It's a good. I think an eye-opener in a lot of ways. You go like, I never knew the church was involved in so many things. And you got reports in here. And so the reports are made as they were received, pretty much. So that's for your information. Just want you to know that hopefully you got a bulletin when you came in today. We made sure we made more of them so we didn't run out. But just to let you know that Children's Church will be today. If I forget to mention it, it's during the sermon. The kids are dismissed to go to the fireside room, which is all the way down the hallway on the right-hand side. And I'm sure people will be there to be looking for you kids to make sure you get to the right place. This Wednesday, just want you to know that there is a women's luncheon at One-on-One in Arnold's Park. There is a sign-up in the fellowship room. It's on a yellow piece of paper on a clipboard on the table. If you haven't signed up, please do that today if you can be there, just so we can let One-on-One know how many people to expect. That's the reason why we have you sign up. Doesn't mean you can't come if you didn't sign up. It's just the sign-up is there to give them an idea how many people are going to be there. And keep that in mind. That's going to be on Wednesday. You got Joy Kids that will be here after school from 3:30 to 5. Oh, that's right. You meet at the theater, right? King of Kings, great movie. It's kind of like in a cartoon thing. And I saw it last Friday night, and I fell asleep twice. Just it's just because of my age, you know. My daughter, I sat next to her, and she goes, Dad, you're snoring. I go, I am. I didn't hear myself, but anyway. I fell asleep twice. There's somebody in the, I don't even know who they were, in the movie theater. They said, that old guy is snoring again. So, again, Dad, they're hearing you snore. But it's a great movie. I want you to know that. It's just, it's not made for people like me, but it's a great movie. I knew exactly where they were when I woke up. I go like, okay, I know where they're at. They really follow the scriptures very well in that movie. So anyway, you know all about that. I'll just move on here. There is no There is no confirmation, the two-year confirmation this Wednesday, because I'll be gone. We'll be leaving right after church here today sometime to head up to North Minnesota to Grand Rapids. We're going to stay up there for a week to watch our grandkids up there, because their folks are gone to Indianapolis, Indiana, for some kind of a conference. And they'll come back Friday night. We'll get to see them for about a few hours anyway. But we'll be back next Saturday. I will lead the service next Saturday. We got Pastor, Dan Winkowicz is going to be here giving the message next Sunday, just so you know that. And I know all of you will want to return because he is preaching and not me. So we look forward to him being here, and then we have the meeting about 10 minutes after the worship service next Sunday. Good to see Al Holman today and Sharon. What a great surprise. You know, so welcome back, and I won't ask you again if you have any pain. We're just glad to see you here, and the family that came with you as well. It's just wonderful to have you here this morning. You see in the bulletin that there is an address for Jim Craniger in Sioux Falls, that if you want to send a card or if you want to know where he's at, that's where he's at. A correction with Millie Anderson, I had put in there that it was at 2 o'clock. Actually, it's at 1 o'clock is her funeral at Grace Lutheran this coming Saturday. So please make note of that. And I always mention Vicki Anderson because she's the daughter-in-law to Millie, but then I forgot about Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson is a nephew to Millie as well. And so our hearts go out to the whole family. As I thought she made it to 101, but I found out today talking to Vicki, she goes, nope, she didn't quite make it. She turns 101 this month, but she died last Thursday or before that. It's been a little while here, but she was ready, very ready to go. She's kind of at that point where she says, why am I still here? I'm ready to go. What's taking so long? But that's just Millie. She's just a wonderful person. I just got a kick out of her, and she had a sharp mind, and she just loved people, and she loved the Lord Jesus, and she's celebrating Easter up in heaven. If they even celebrate up there, I'm not sure, but I'll find out one day. So there's other things in the bulletin there. Anything else I need to make mention of? Oh, yeah. Those who came to clean up the outside of the church. You know who you are. Thank you so much for taking care of getting rid of all the dead stuff. And it kind of reminds us a lot of Easter. Easter is when everything's new. Notice all the bonnets that the ladies are wearing today. There's not a one. But I remember the day when Easter is where everybody would come to church wearing something new, and people would take notice. And I never realized that people looked at each other so closely on Easter Sunday. But I guess that was the thing you did at that time. So welcome on this Easter Sunday. And I'd like to just have a word of prayer with you before we turn it over to... Oh, I'll pray and I'll give the call to worship. I see it here. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks on this wonderful Easter morning. We have been through the kind of the bad and the ugly with Lent, hearing about what you went through. And we just skimmed the surface of a lot of those things. But we're grateful that it is Easter morning, that we know that it's a brand new day in knowing that you have risen from the dead and you are alive. May you come alive in ways in our hearts and in our lives that maybe you've never been able to do before, because hearts and our lives have been closed to you or kind of standoffish. But maybe today be one of those days where our hearts are wide open to receive you and to have you come in and to be our Lord and our Savior in a very personal way. So we pray for those, Lord, that are spoken of here in our prayer requests. But we also pray for those, Lord, that aren't in here, that we know about, that need your touch in their lives for different kinds of things happening health-wise and tragedy-wise as well. And May they realize that today is one of those days that you are alive, which means there's hope. You give us a lot of hope, where we can even sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. May that be something that gives us hope all the time. Even though it's a simple little kid's song, we can hold on to that throughout our whole lives. And may that bring assurance to us as well. So I just pray, Lord, that you would be in every aspect of the service here today, that it will communicate that Jesus is alive. And we are so thankful for what we've already heard this morning. The shofar, the piano music, and even the choir. And now whatever is in store, may you use that as a way of speaking to hearts that are here today as well. And for those that are not feeling very good, that would love to be here but couldn't, may you especially be with them this day. With families that get together and those that were looking forward to being families coming but couldn't make it, the thought still counts. The phone is still there. And we can be grateful knowing that you love us and you care about us even more than our families and our kids do. And grandkids or great-grandkids. You love us. And you demonstrate it and shown us by rising again. So we say these things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
sweet perfume came from everywhere, those shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me, his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into
up and keep worshiping.
With us.
Great song. Thank you, praise band. A responsive reading comes from a hymn entitled Jesus Paid It All. It says, I hear the Savior say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me my all in all.
Lord, now indeed I find your power and my glow, and change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby your grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it as white as snow.
Just for me. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, the woman went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled away the stone, and sat on it. His face was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow.
The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fainted. Then the angel spoke to the woman, and "Don't be afraid," he said. "And I know you are looking for Jesus who was killed. He isn't here. He is risen, just like he said. Come and see, and now go and tell his disciples that he is risen. Remember what I have told you."
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. The background music was played by Bob Floss. In case you were wondering, that's who you need to thank as well. Thank you, Bob, wherever you are. Well, there you are. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie, very much for that special number two. Now you can relax as well. I invite you to stand if you're able to stand. We're going to read together, or I will read, you can listen. I don't know if it'll be up on the monitors or not. But now we can understand more of why I just did not feel comfortable in talking about the ladies going to the tomb early on Easter Sunday, because it's been pretty well covered. And I chose to speak today in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. And it says this: if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came upon a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that comes to us who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, in these words that we have before us. May we receive them today. May we leave today, Lord, different than the way that we came to church today, because we know that you are alive in so many ways, but most of all, you're alive in our lives as we believe and we trust in you by faith. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there's so many times that you can hear about going to the tomb on Easter Sunday. And so that's why I chose to preach and teach here on 1 Corinthians. Because it's the Apostle Paul who writes this book. And I got to be thinking here, Corinth is in Greece. Corinth at this time in Paul's day is a very ungodly city. It's about 450,000 people at this time. It's the crossroads of many of shipping as well as people on land. It is a big metropolitan area. And they did not believe. They had religion. They had all kinds of religion going on in Corinth, but they did not believe in a resurrection. In all of their religions, none of them believed in a resurrection, that somebody could come back from the dead. And so there's a church that was planted in Corinth. Paul visited only one time. It was on his second missionary journey. And he stayed there for a year and a half, 18 months. And then he went back to Ephesus, which is in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And then he would write letters. That's where he writes 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that are given by somebody back to Corinth, a letter from Paul. Corinth is so evil that they built a new temple known as Aphrodite. She was the god of fertility. And within her temple, she had 1,000 priestesses, and they acted as prostitutes. And so it was the thing to do that if you're going to go to Corinth and worship, you'd have to go to the all-known Aphrodite, or Venus is the Roman word for Aphrodite, the same god. And that is how you would worship your god, with immorality. So when Paul comes onto the scene, he's going like, oofta. I can't believe what I'm reading and seeing throughout this whole city, because there's all kinds of gods and statues and idols of all different kinds, but not a one of them believed in a resurrection. So he comes onto the scene saying that there is someone who came back to life after he died, and he starts talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Makes a big impact. You can imagine it would stir that city up quite a lot. So if the resurrection was such an important thing to be talking about back in Paul's day, remember, he was one who also converted to Christianity before Corinth. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. If you think of anyone being a perfect Jew, a perfect Pharisee, it was Paul. Well, at that time, his name was Saul. And he'd go out and he would arrest Christians. But on his way to Damascus is when he fell off his horse because he was blinded by a light on the road. And he heard a voice. He did not see Jesus Christ, but he heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And it's Saul that answers back, "Well, who are you?" He calls him Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" And he hears that voice that says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And you'll find that in the book of Acts, chapter 9. It gives us whole testimony of what happened there. So I want us to look at the resurrection today, 20 plus years after it happened. And we go to the Apostle Paul. He is out there proclaiming and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ wherever he goes. And he's also been told by others, "You can say anything you want, but don't you ever talk about the resurrection. Do not ever talk about Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad we live in a country that we can still do this today? We can still celebrate and talk about the resurrection that took place as we celebrate one of the biggest celebrations of the church year, next to Christmas, of being reminded of what God has done for us over the centuries, over the thousands of years. That God has been faithful, and we have been unfaithful to him. But he remains faithful to us. The resurrection gives proof of how much God loves us and how much God cares about us. Paul's message is one about there's a life to come. There's more to life than just here. There is a life to come where there will be no sin. There will be complete joy. It's a place that we call is heaven. Eternal life. And it comes to anyone who will come and to believe and trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot come to believe Jesus without believing that he rose again from the dead. You can go anywhere in this world to look at a grave of Buddha, at the leader of Hindu, Marxism, whatever it is, and you'll find a grave or a tomb. I believe that even Mao Zedong, they built a big mausoleum in Tiananmen Square that you can go in there and you can actually see Mao Zedong laying behind thick glass. He's dead. That's still there today. But when you look for Jesus Christ, the tomb was empty. Now, there might be some people out there that says, here's the tomb of Jesus Christ, and he's in there, but you can't see him. I don't know. There's probably crazy people out there doing that. But we know from Scripture, he's alive. And it wasn't just his disciples who saw him. The disciples would have been right there after this happened. We've heard about that. We've heard songs about it here today. We've heard people reading about him. I shouldn't say people, kids spoke about him. Now we come to a portion of Scripture in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is 20-some years later, and the message is still being talked about 20 years later, but think of even today. Close to 2,000 years. So we're still talking about the resurrection, and there's still people who understand what we've sung about here today, that the blood of Christ forgives us of our sins. What was once scarlet has now become white as snow. Forgive me for saying snow, but that's white. We understand. The message of Jesus Christ has been changing people's hearts and lives many, many years, but we're still the minority. There's many more people who have not heard. There's many more people who have not believed in Jesus Christ, many more people who don't care about Christ, many people don't care about church. The reason we have a church is because of the resurrection. There would be no churches anywhere. And to think about how many pastors and how many different places on this planet where they are celebrating today, Easter, around the world. Europe is at least 8 hours ahead of us. So maybe they've been doing this when we were sleeping, they were celebrating. It's a great day, and it'll continue where people will celebrate. I know of some friends that are missionaries in Africa where they say that the people come together the night before and they basically worship all night long into the day. And I go like, you know, they're not Lutherans. They go that long. You know, an hour is plenty for us. But they go on and on and on. And that's their culture. And they love it. And it's very meaningful to them. If we were put there, we'd kind of go like, okay, good grief, it's long enough. But they just have the joy of Christ, and they have nothing. Very little. And they're so full of praise and worship and love the Lord with all their hearts, and they got their kids together, they dress up. Well, it's just amazing what we see in other cultures. So when Paul comes to Corinth and he writes this letter, he is telling the Corinthians, Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. And you could hear the people just sneer. Not snore, but sneer. Like, get out of here. We got all kinds of religion. We don't need to hear this from you. Oh, yes, you do. We still need to hear this again and again, don't we? Paul's testimony, think that he was Saul before, the big Pharisee, a religious man. He had no idea how Christianity, how him to believe in Jesus, where it would take him. And as he got converted to believe and trust in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He would never have thought he would went to different places all over in the known world at that time and to talk about Jesus Christ. And no matter wherever Paul went to, what did you find where he went to? If you follow him, it happened every place he went. What was that? Yeah. There were problems. There were riots. He'd get beat up. He would get flogged. He would be in a shipwreck at least 3 times. You got bit by a poisonous snake and still survived on an island. You read about his life, you go like, good grief. This guy went through a lot. If he was believing in some kind of a myth or something that didn't happen, and he went through all of that, how many of us would continue to go on teaching and preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It had to be real. And it was real. It is real. He talks about Jesus being the first fruits of the dead. That means all of us who believe in Jesus, we become the other fruits. He's the first. He's the one that rose from the dead. We then follow him. We're the other fruits because only he can give us the forgiveness of sins. Only he can give us eternal life. It comes from nowhere else but him. He talks about a resurrection that there's going to come a time when he's going to destroy all the dominion, all the authority, and all the power that comes in this world. It's through the resurrection where we find that Jesus proclaims the victory over sin, death, and Satan on the day in which he rose again from the dead, which is that's what we celebrate on Easter. He's alive. And he's defeated already those three things, sin, death, and Satan. But a time is coming, he's going to end all those things for good. And so he points us forward to Revelation chapter 20, the millennium. And if you read that, just read chapter 20 of Revelation, and you'll find about the second death. When you got Satan, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, they all get thrown into the lake of fire. It'll be there forever, 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 forever. Read chapter 20 of Revelation, and you'll come to believe that the resurrection is very important. Those who do not believe in the resurrection, they will end up in the lake of fire too. Their names will not be in the book of life. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our names are written in that book. Is your name written in that book? How do you know? It's written there. If you say it's because I believe, Pastor, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he rose again from the dead. I believe he's forgiven my sins. If that is your standard, if that is what you truly, truly believe, yes, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Good thing. I want to go back to Peter. We get in the book of Acts. It is Peter who says in the second chapter of Acts, verse 32, he says, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact. And so Peter is talking about the rest of the disciples. They saw him. They heard him. They ate with him. They are the witnesses of saying, it's true. It's real. Peter tells the Jews in his day, in Acts 3, verse 15, Peter says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. You think that got them happy to be told that? But Peter is standing on the truth, standing his ground on what really, really took place. Peter confirms to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 41. Acts, by the way, was written by Luke, one of the gospel writers. He's a historian, and so he's trying to find out, okay, what happened then after Jesus went up to heaven as they saw him go and disappear, and they were told that the same way you saw him go, he's going to come back again. And that's what we're still waiting for. He's going to come back, and it's going to be in the sky. It's going to be in the clouds. He's going to come back. Everyone will see him. Not a difficult thing to do today, no matter where he comes back in this world, because everything's so digital. We can see what's happening right now in any place of the world with satellite. So no matter where he comes, we're going to see him. It'll be breaking news if you're watching TV. There's something happening here up in the sky, and we're not sure what it is. It could be a meteorite. It could be something flying by the earth. I don't know how they'll say it or when that'll happen. But someone's going to have to say, he's back. He's coming back, like he said. It's Jesus Christ and all the saints. Haven't seen anything like this. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. Many of you know that my mom died February of this year. But I remember those precious times of being with her in her apartment and just saying, Mom, you got any pain? Shari said, no. I don't believe her. But I said, are you hoping in Jesus? And she says, well, I think I am. I go, Mom, wrong answer. I don't want you to think that you are. I don't want you to feel that you kind of are. I want you to know that you're believing and trusting in him. And then she said, well, if you put it that way, I believe in him. I said, good answer. But we have no hope. And that's what I wanted Mom to see over and over again. The best is yet to come, Mom, when we believe in Jesus. And I know it's not fun to get old. I know it's not fun to have issues with health. I know that you're not going to live much longer. And you know it too. But will I get to see you again? And the only way that can happen is if you believe in Jesus. Hard to talk to a person in the family like that. But I really believe that Mom had a faith. I really believe she trusted in the Lord. And the reason I say that is because she was one of our faithful Zoomers. And she was faithful for years, even before we came here. Remember the day you had cassettes? Where as pastor at that time, I would record the service on a cassette and then send it to Mom and Dad so that they could listen to it. And they would listen to it. But they never, ever had that desire in their life before. I did ask Mom once. I said, Mom, what did Dad say to you about me becoming a pastor? She said, well, I always told him, let him do what he wants to do. Because my dad hated pastors. That's why I bring it up. But she said, I've always wanted you to do what I knew that you enjoyed doing. And I go like, I don't think I ever enjoyed doing it, Mom. But I know that this is where I need to be. So Paul is convinced that he had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus and thereafter. And so that is what he continues to preach, that what he continues to say throughout his life, many years after Jesus came back from the dead. And if he believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, hopefully you do too. You look at all the disciples. Jesus lost only one, Judas. They replaced him with Matthias. But you look at all the history of what were the disciples of Jesus who followed him. You know, after he died, and if he didn't come back to life again, they would all went back to their former occupations. Someone went back to their boats and got catching fish. And there were some who did that, but then they saw someone on the shoreline making breakfast and waving them in. And it was Peter that goes like, huh? That looks like Jesus. And as soon as he realized it was Jesus, what did Peter do? He jumped out of the boat into the water and started swimming towards shore. Jesus was making breakfast on the shoreline. It was probably a fish. Fish sandwiches. We don't know. But he reinstated Peter to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep. And he has done so ever since. But we know that Peter died in Rome, and he said he was not worthy to die the same way that his master, his Lord, was. And his request, his final request, was to die crucified upside down. And they gave him his wish. If the resurrection was not true, you think he would have said like, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to die for this belief. And you think of all the other disciples, they went different places, and many of them died for their faith because they believed Jesus is who he said he is, and he came back from the dead. The resurrection's important. Paul points that out here. We find in the beginning of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians the importance of why Jesus was seen by many more. He was seen by 500 people at one time. But he goes on and gives a list of how many people saw him after he came back to life. In the beginning of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. That's the importance of resurrection. Changed the whole world. You would not have a church. You would not be worshiping Jesus Christ today if it wasn't true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for changing people's lives in ways that we cannot always fathom. Thank you for changing Saul to become Paul. And for him to write about half of the New Testament with letters and just being honest in what he preaches and how he lived and where he went and what happened to him. He was convinced of your coming to life. His life was changed. Lord, may there be many here this morning who can just say the same thing because of Jesus' resurrection and his place in my life and my heart. When I surrendered to him, my life changed too. Things that I used to love doing, all of a sudden started to fade away, and I took on new things that I loved, that I hated to do and didn't want to do, because you made a difference in changing me to be more like you. So Lord, as we think of this Easter, this resurrection day, it means a lot to those who have been changed, because Jesus Jesus showed us that he is the victor over sin, death, and Satan. And he continues being that person today in our hearts and lives. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, man. Yep, Jeff, you're right. Should just get rid of that clock. Thanks for your patience this morning. May you have a blessed Easter with family. Before you go today, let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. Stand if you can. You don't have to stand if you don't want to, but it says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. It comes from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, to be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated.
Thanks be to God.